You know what keeps me up at night? Not turbulence, not crosswinds, it's thermodynamics. Specifically, the thermodynamics of how we're going to keep flying 100 years from now when the kerosene runs out or the regulations make it impossible to burn. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we're going deep on hydrogen propulsion for aircraft. Not the hype, not the press releases, the actual engineering. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've hit a milestone worth marking, first solo, instrument rating, commercial ticket, they make aviation challenge coins that actually mean something beautifully crafted, built to last. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, let's break this down. When people talk about the future of aviation fuel, you hear a lot about sustainable aviation fuel, SAF, and you hear about batteries. Both have roles to play. But there's a third contender that I think deserves way more attention than it gets in general aviation circles, and that's hydrogen. Not hydrogen as some far-off science fiction concept. Hydrogen, as in companies are flying test aircraft on it right now, today in 2026. So why hydrogen? Here's the fundamental problem with batteries. Energy density? A lithium-ion battery pack today gives you roughly 250 watt-hours per kilogram. Jet A gives you about 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That is a factor of nearly 50. Even if batteries triple in energy density over the next decade, and that would be a massive breakthrough, you're still looking at a factor of 15 or 16 gap. That's why battery electric works for short hops, maybe 200 miles. But it falls apart for anything resembling regional or cross-country flying. Hydrogen sits in a completely different place on the energy density chart by weight. Hydrogen carries about 33,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That's nearly three times the energy density of jet fuel by mass. Now, before you get too excited, there's a massive caveat. That's by weight, by volume. Hydrogen is a nightmare. Even as a liquid cooled down to minus 253 degrees Celsius, it takes up about four times the volume of jet fuel for the same energy. And keeping it that cold requires insulated tanks that are heavy and complex. So the engineering challenge is not whether hydrogen has enough energy. It absolutely does. The challenge is how you store it, how you move it, and how you convert it to thrust. There are two main approaches being pursued right now, and they're fundamentally different. The first is hydrogen fuel cells. This is the path ZeroAvia has been championing. They're a company based out of Hollister, California, and they've been flight testing modified Dornier 228s with hydrogen fuel cell powertrains. The idea is straightforward in concept. You feed hydrogen and oxygen into a fuel cell stack. It produces electricity through an electrochemical reaction. That electricity drives an electric motor. The motor turns a propeller. The only byproduct is water. No carbon dioxide, no nitrogen oxides, no particulates. ZeroAvia completed a critical milestone in early 2025 when they ran their 600 kilowatt powertrain on a testbed for extended durations. That's enough power to drive a regional turboprop. Their target is a certification-ready system for aircraft in the 9 to 19 seat class by around 2028 or 2029, with larger applications following after that. Here's what most people miss about the fuel cell approach. Fuel cells are incredibly efficient at converting chemical energy to useful work. A modern proton exchange membrane fuel cell can hit 55 to 60% efficiency. A gas turbine engine, even a good one, sits around 35 to 40% thermal efficiency. So even though you need bulky tanks, the fuel cell squeezes more useful work out of every kilogram of hydrogen you carry. The second approach is hydrogen combustion. This is the path Airbus is betting on for their ZeroE program. Instead of converting hydrogen to electricity in a fuel cell, you just burn it, directly, in a modified gas turbine. This sounds simpler, and in some ways it is. Gas turbine engineers have decades of experience with combustion dynamics. You're not reinventing the propulsion architecture, you're changing the fuel. Rolls-Royce and EasyJet partnered to run a ground test of a modified AE2100 turboshaft engine on green hydrogen back in late 2023. And they've continued that work since the engine ran. It produced thrust, the fundamental combustion physics work. But there are problems. Hydrogen burns much hotter than kerosene, and at a much wider range of fuel-to-air ratios. That means you need to redesign the combustion chamber to handle different flame characteristics and to manage nitrogen oxide emissions. Because when you burn anything in air at high temperatures, you get NOx formation from the nitrogen in the atmosphere. So hydrogen combustion is not perfectly clean. It's much cleaner than jet fuel, but it's not zero emission like a fuel cell. Airbus has been saying they want a hydrogen-powered commercial aircraft in service by 2035. I'll be honest with you, I think that timeline is ambitious. Not because the propulsion is impossible, but because of everything else that has to change. And this is where we get to the part that matters most for pilots, the aircraft design implications. A hydrogen-powered airplane does not look like a kerosene-powered airplane with different tanks bolted on. liquid hydrogen tanks need to be cylindrical or spherical to handle the cryogenic pressures and insulation requirements. You can't stuff them into conventional wing structures the way we do with jet fuel today. The most promising configurations put the hydrogen tanks in the fuselage, either behind the cabin or in a redesigned fuselage cross-section. Airbus has shown concepts with a blended wing body, which gives you more internal volume for tanks without the drag penalty of a fatter fuselage. For general aviation, the story is a bit different. Companies like Universal Hydrogen, before they ran into financial difficulties, were working on modular hydrogen capsule systems. The idea was to avoid building a massive hydrogen infrastructure at every airport. Instead, you'd have standardized capsules filled at a central facility and trucked to airports, kind of like how we move propane tanks today. A ground crew loads the capsules into the aircraft, you fly, you land, you swap the empties for full ones. That's a clever approach because it sidesteps the single biggest obstacle to hydrogen aviation, which is infrastructure. Right now, there is essentially zero hydrogen refueling capability at airports. Zero. Building out liquid hydrogen storage, transfer systems, and safety protocols at thousands of airports worldwide is a monumental undertaking. Some estimates put the infrastructure investment needed at hundreds of billions of dollars globally. Now, let me give you some honest perspective on timelines. For small aircraft, 9 to 19 seats, regional routes under 500 miles, I think hydrogen fuel cell propulsion is plausible within the next 5 to 7 years for initial certifications. ZeroAvia and a handful of other startups are making real progress, and the regulatory bodies including the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and the European Union Aviation Safety Agency are actively working on certification frameworks for hydrogen systems. For narrowbody commercial aircraft, the kind of airplane most of us fly on when we go to a conference, we're looking at the mid-2030s at the earliest, and I would not be surprised if it slips to 2040. The certification process for a fundamentally new fuel system on a commercial transport aircraft is going to be extraordinarily thorough, as it should be. For wide-body long-haul aircraft, the physics get really hard. The volume penalty for hydrogen storage means you either accept a significantly shorter range, or you redesign the entire aircraft. This is probably a 2045 plus conversation. The data tells an interesting story when you look at who's investing. Airbus has committed over 2 billion euros to their ZeroE program. The European Union's Clean Aviation Joint Undertaking is funding multiple hydrogen aviation research projects in the United States. The Department of Energy has been funding hydrogen production research, though less specifically targeted at aviation. Several major airports, including Changi in Singapore and Schiphol in Amsterdam, have begun feasibility studies for hydrogen infrastructure. But here's the counterpoint that keeps this honest hydrogen production today is overwhelmingly derived from natural gas through a process called steam methane reforming. That process produces significant carbon dioxide emissions. For hydrogen aviation to actually deliver on its environmental promise, we need green hydrogen produced by splitting water using renewable electricity. Green hydrogen currently costs roughly 3 to 5 times more than conventional hydrogen. The cost is coming down, and electrolyzer technology is improving rapidly, but we're not there yet. So what does this mean for you, the pilot flying today? In the near term, probably nothing changes in your cockpit. But if you're a younger pilot, or if you're thinking about the next 20 years of your career, hydrogen is worth watching closely. The transition, if it happens, will start with regional routes, short hops, island connections. Routes where the limited range of early hydrogen aircraft isn't a penalty but a natural fit. Think Hawaiian inter-island flights. Think Nordic short haul. Think Southeast Asian island hopping. The operational considerations for pilots will include new fuel system management procedures, different weight and balance calculations, because hydrogen is so much lighter than jet fuel per unit of energy, and potentially different emergency procedures related to hydrogen venting or fuel cell malfunctions. None of this is insurmountable. Pilots adapted to glass cockpits. Pilots adapted to fly-by-wire. Pilots will adapt to hydrogen if the technology delivers. What I find genuinely exciting is that hydrogen doesn't ask us to fly less. It doesn't ask us to accept dramatically shorter ranges, at least not in the medium term. It asks us to change what we burn, and eventually what we don't burn at all if fuel cells win out. For those of us who love aviation but worry about its environmental footprint, that's a meaningful distinction. The race is real. The engineering challenges are real. The timeline uncertainty is real. But the thermodynamics work, and when the thermodynamics work, engineers eventually figure out the rest. Sources for today's segment came primarily from ZeroAvia's published flight test data, Airbus's ZeroE program documentation, and research from the International Council on Clean Transportation. Find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Keep asking how things work. I'll see you next time on Clear Direct.